Well, good morning, everyone. Once again, I want to thank you for being here. I have my Bible in hand, and this is the time we're going to get into the Bible. And as well, I hope that you'll take a bulletin in hand and look at the back of that. Fill that bulletin in, because you're going to take some of those notes that you're believing God's speaking to you about into our accountability group. We call them life groups. So as you know, we've been looking at our series is all about really following doctor's orders. So in other words, getting with Dr. Jesus in prayer, how that just brings health and healing. And so today we are dealing with the subject matter. It's entitled Intercessory Prayer Works. It really works. It's amazing. It's a gift from God. But before we begin, there are so many dedicated. All of you are just dedicated. Here you are on a Sunday. We've got probably a little bit more tighter parking due to the air show. So be a little more comfortable. If you feel like we're being bombarded, it's just flybys. I hope that they have vials of oil and they're just anointing our city and blessing it. What do you think? Amen?
Amen.
Could happen. You never know. But I wanted to get a quick shout out. If you are in OSL, Operation Solid Lives, or you're teaching that, and I want to just throw in for the sake of time, you're back from a GO team there in Wahiwa. Would all of you just stand? We want to just thank God for your dedication. Be back at church, working and studying. Yep, OSL students, good job. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I wanted to start off, since we're dealing with prayer, we're actually going to be going to 1 Timothy. So intercessory prayer works. Heard about a family that was having guests for dinner, and at the table, the mother turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Dear, would you like to say the blessing?" And the daughter said, "I don't know what to say." She said, "Well, sweetie, all you have to say is what you've heard mother say." So she bowed her head, took a deep breath, and said, "Dear Lord, why the heck did I invite all these people to dinner?" So, you know, when you have comments like that, you just bring out the holy mackerel. There it is, everybody. Yep. That is our Christian version of cussing. Holy mackerel, I can't believe he did that. Anyway, we found that going through a little bit of our decorative artifacts. That fish popped up. Can you imagine that? Well, Lord, we want to thank you for opening our heart and allowing us to see things today, especially the significance, where we fit in the scheme of things. Lord, we always thank you that you invite us, and it's no small thing that we're here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Corrie Ten Boom said this, "The greatest thing you can do for a person is to pray for them." We're taking a look at intercessory prayer, which means praying for other people. That's really hard work. I find it no difficulty praying for myself or people I love and are close to, but praying for others can be quite challenging. Charles Spurgeon, who is one of England's greatest preachers ever, was said that when people visited that magnificent structure of a church, that the first place he would take them when they wanted to know what's the key to your success, he'd take them down to the basement where there was prayer that was going on while church service was happening. He said, "This is the reason for our success." I'm so grateful. A number of years ago, a man approached me. It was actually a minister, and he said, "You know, Paul, I want you to know I've been praying for a church just like Hope Chapel to come." Spirit-filled, charismatic, did not shy away from talking about gifts of the Spirit and prayer. Now, it's very humbling at that time, but I want to say, I just say that because I believe we are here today a direct influence of a person's prayer. Prayer is so important. In 1924, Dallas Theological Seminary was formed. And at that time, the president, Lewis Sperry Schaefer, recognized that they didn't have enough capital money to maintain for the first year, and that the bankers were coming in to collect on the property. And he said, "Faculty, we need to intercede. God started this seminary. He needs to pay the bills." And so H.L. Ironside, many of you are familiar with that. He wrote a lot of Bible commentaries. Harry Ironside stood up when it was his turn to pray and said, "Lord, you own a cattle on a thousand hills. so you need to sell some of those cattle and give us the proceeds. During that meeting, Lewis Sperry came along and said that a tall Texan with a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, wrinkly shirt, came into the office and said, "You know, I just sold two cattle cars of cows, and the business deal did not turn out so well in Fort Worth, and I feel very moved to bring the cash here for this seminary, whether you need it or not." So the secretary brought it into the prayer meeting. Lewis Schaefer saw it and said, "Harry, God sold some of those cattle and gave us the money." Isn't that amazing? When people pray, you never know how you're being led. Now, I can't say God's going to always answer like that, but he does answer. But above all, he asks us to pray. Let's take a look here at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 today. "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we take a look here. There are some things we want to highlight which are so significant. First of all, first point, the priority of prayer. Verse 1, "Therefore I exhort, first of all." That word exhort, in other words, a number one priority. One of the greatest priorities, we're going to just say this over and over again, when we want to assist somebody is to pray for them. I exhort, first of all. It really is a term in the Greek of a parent taking a child and wrapping their loving arms around that child and say, "Listen, dear child, this is something you should never, ever fail to do. I exhort you, first of all." So it's important. Letter A, one person to stand in the gap. Ezekiel is the reference. That word "standing in the gap" doesn't mean about going to a shopping mall and dealing with some particular line of clothing, but it is talking about, if you were to look here, and let me make reference to that, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God is asking for one person to pray where there is an access for harm to come. Check it out. "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God was looking for one person to stand in the gap, to literally what it's making, it's prayer. He's dealing with, I am asking somebody to pray to stem the tide that I might not destroy the land. And I found nobody. It means there is prayerlessness going on in that area. That's what God was addressing. We spent some time with Abraham. Remember, one dude was up there contending for Sodom and Gomorrah and whittled the request down. If 10 people, God says, if I find 10 righteous, I will not destroy the cities. One person, you, can make a difference in stemming the tide. God was looking for a person to stand in the gap. And that's important for us to recognize too. That gap means there's a breach in the wall, and that's where the enemy is going to flood on in. And if you happen to have an area that you know you are susceptible, vulnerable to attack, and you've never asked somebody to pray for that specific hole in your wall, you need to do that. Why not? You're asking somebody, "You pray with me about this. I need somebody to stand with me in prayer because I'm vulnerable right here." So that's important for us. A successful businessman was addressing a group of executives, and he brought up two things that he always sees with those teams of individuals that they fail on. One was taking time out just to think. People just don't think. For us to pray, that's really kind of what that's all about. Just think. God's got some ideas he may want to give you. And then pray about. Second thing that people fail in is to execute the priority that they feel to accomplish that. Sometimes we say, I know I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray one day. But we fail to execute that. cute little phrase that came up. One person said, you can always tell the popularity of the church by the Sunday attendance. You can always tell the popularity of the pastor by the Sunday night attendance. And you can always tell the popularity of Jesus Christ by the prayer meeting attendance. It's interesting when we take a look at that. It's important that God's wanting to ask us to pray for men. Isn't it interesting that we take a look, and if we were to tell men about God, that's called preaching. If we tell men about other men, that's called gossip. But if we tell God about men, that's called intercession. Lord, I want to talk to you about these individuals in my life. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what God's word is talking about. And I want to just talk to all of us and you who are watching via live stream. And if you are in ministry in any way, pastoring or associate pastor, or using these elements just to address things, one of the greatest calling of a minister is to pray. And Acts chapter 6, 1 through 4 is very significant. Acts 6, the apostles were dealing with social issues of how to feed people, namely widows. And they said this, literally, it is not fitting that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Select 7 men from among you to do the job. But we will continually give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. I'm glad to say I'm finally getting with it about praying. And I pray quite often in this room for you and prayed for you this very day. And I thank God for what he's doing in your lives. So it's important. It's a priority. I exhort, first of all, that you pray. When we take a look at point number 2, the variety of prayer, letter A talks about these. Let's go a little bit further. We're back right there, back at 1 Timothy. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Let's just kind of whittle a little bit of that. Supplications literally means a request based upon a felt need. You know you're going to pray when you feel you've got a felt need going on or a feeling of inadequacy. I've got to face this and I feel inadequate. It causes people to pray. That's called supplication or supplicate. It literally, this term in the Greek literally means I'm really kind of calling out to God. I really have a need here. That same word is used in Mark 10, 46 and 47. Remember blind Bartimaeus? That's his story in Mark 10. When he's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the crowd says, hey, hush. He was yelling. I mean, it's a procession of people. And they say, be quiet. And he yelled out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's really what supplication is all about. Man, I've got a need here. And I'm going to drill down and say, Lord, help. Bring a resource. I think when a person knows they have a need, it helps them to pray. We just need to know we need to pray anyway. Isn't it a true story about a young boy at the River Ganges right there in India was watching a holy man pray by the water's edge, just studying him for up to 20, 30 minutes. Then finally the young lad said, sir, I'd like to learn to pray like you. Will you teach me to pray? The man studied the lad's face, reached over, grabbed his hair, stuck his head in the water, held him down. He's flailing. Brought him back up. First lesson of prayer, the same way you desire to breathe is the same thing you need to desire to pray. Then we can teach you to pray. Wow, that's a little radical, don't you think? But if you don't feel a need, you don't have that driving urge to pray, I exhort, first of all, supplications. I'm so glad we get to bring in our own needs. So important. So no problem praying that way, huh? We pray for that. It's important. It's like, Lord, here I am again today. I've got some other needs. And it's Jesus himself who really did say to you and me, ask and you'll receive. He's the one that said that. I didn't. Ask, you'll receive. I like it too in John 16, 14, where he says, until now, you've asked me nothing, but ask in my name that you may receive and that your joy may be full. That's pretty cool. Now, there are those, from time to time, I'll hear people say, well, you know what? I don't really want to bother God. I'm kind of humble that way. I don't want to tell anybody my needs. That is not humility. That's called foolishness. Because God's asking you, ask me. No, I'm too humble. You're too proud. That's what that's dealing with. So it's important, even here as we conclude our services today, we're going to have our prayer teams up. It's like, wow, will you pray for me? I haven't had anybody really pray for me in this area, but that's so important. I'm glad that if you know a felt need, my children knew their felt needs every Saturday. I remember Luke specifically. That Saturday was allowance day, and he would say, Dad, it's Saturday. And I knew what he meant by that. Huh? Emily, Dad, it's Saturday. We get a dollar today. So that's important when we deal with that element. They're not timid to ask, and Dad will address that. Don't be timid to ask God for those things. Very, very important to say, Lord, these are some of the needs that I have. Next one is B, supplication, prayers. And it sounds like it's a little redundant, but this particular Greek word makes references specifically to prayer engaging God with regards to a relationship. You've asked supplication your needs. Now, God, what are your needs? What do you desire? That's where this word prayer fits in. It's that, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. That's what this prayer is. Prayer just means you're getting into God's good presence anyway, but that's specifically what's being addressed here. I am recognizing, I am praying. I am praying to God. I am not praying to some city council. I'm not praying to the president. I'm praying to the one who does not need to go to Congress for fear his laws are going to be vetoed. I'm praying to the one. That's what prayer, I'm praying to the one and only God. It's important that we get a chance to see that. So mature Christians start to see right here, supplications, felt need, have no problem. I can go on and on. Praying then for God, what is it that you want? That's important. Because I want to also include what you might have to see happen in my life or in those areas around. Next one on our list there, you can see in verse 1, intercession. Intercession, giving of thanks. We'll talk in just a moment, but intercessory prayer. Title of the message, intercessory prayer works, but this is where it becomes very difficult. I have no problem praying for my own needs. But when praying for other people, it's a little more difficult. I am engaged with God when I know I've got a need that I'm bringing before Him. But listen for somebody else, praying for somebody else, my mind starts to drift. But intercession is so significant. And it literally means asking in favor of someone else, standing in the gap, being there. Wow, Lord, what is it? Who is it that you would like me to pray for? It's kind of like Epaphras is mentioned, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. In Colossians 4:12, it says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a dude Epaphras must have been. What does he do when he's away from? Man, he is laboring in prayer for you. What's he asking? That you become perfect, knowing the will of God. That's amazing. That is absolutely outstanding. Wasn't it Jesus? Talk about an intercessor. Jesus himself was one that did it so well. In John 17, verse 20 and 21, this is his prayers. Father, I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He was praying for you then. That's an amazing thing. What an intercessor that is. Probably the greatest example, I think, is when Jesus prays for Peter. Do you remember when Jesus was telling the disciples, hey, we're going into Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be abused by the Gentiles, and I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I'm going to raise. And the disciple says, we will not abandon you. Peter says, I will give my life for you. And Jesus says, well, guess what? You're going to deny me three times. And you'll know it when the rooster crows. But then Jesus said this, and it's found in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31, 32. Let me read what Jesus tells Peter. Peter, Satan has been asking for you. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Do you hear that one? Is that all you're going to do, Jesus? But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Well, Peter did return, became one of the pillars of the church, probably because of this prayer right here. I have prayed for you. What are you going to pray? Give me a smooth road sailing? No, that your faith does not fail. Wow. So Jesus is our intercessor. I sure like that, don't you? I just declare all the time Romans 8, 34, where it says, who will condemn you? Remember that Romans 8, there's now no condemnation, those are in Christ. But man, Romans 8, 34 drills in, who's going to condemn you? It's Jesus who died for you and is now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Romans 8, 34. Jesus isn't going to turn tail on you. Man, he's praying that your faith does not fail. And if you have anything of substance to offer anybody today for the glory of God, we can really say, Lord, man, I am here today because you are carrying me really on your prayers. Whispering right to the Father, don't forget Paul. He's a little weak and wobbly. Keep him in your care. That's important for us to recognize that. So significant. Let's take a look at giving of thanks. It's interesting because we've covered this. We'll just look for a moment. We were dealing with that when we were together. The giving of thanks when we were looking at Psalm 103, even this morning, verses 1 through 3. Remember, thanksgiving is a form of praise. It is praising God for what he has given you. Worship is really worshiping God for who he is. There's a difference there. So thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for what you have done. If you've been in our chapel setting in the mornings, you recognize we kind of hit these three things. We usually just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Then we go into our own private supplications. Then we kind of like enjoy the presence of the Lord. Then we go into the intercessory time. And then we always conclude with just saying, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers and what's going to happen. Very biblical. It's the way to do it. It's always important. Grateful hearts we were dealing with really is an amazing thing that leads to real health and wholeness. Keep a steady grade of gratitude in your heart. It's very important. Very important. You see better when you're grateful and thankful in your heart. Beware. Don't let bitterness creep in. You can always tell a bitter person. They cannot see the good things they have around them. Matter of fact, they only bring up the negative. You can tell that. Don't be spoiled in regards to bitterness. Let's take a look at number three, the objects of prayer. Taking a look at objects of prayer, letter A, all mankind, says here in once again, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Everyone say all men. All men means all men. Matter of fact, we can even broaden that a little bit and say, how about praying for our enemies? That's really important. All men means all men. And it was Jesus that said that in Matthew 5, 44. He said, pray for those who persecute you, spitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. It's amazing how that eliminates prejudice and hatred when you start praying a blessing upon your enemy, especially when they start to turn. Somebody once said this, earnest intercession will be sure to bring love with it. I do not believe you can hate a man for whom you habitually pray. All mean. It's a cure. It's amazing how that is. People who have woundedness in them, when they realize what a relative have done, what a business associate have done, when they start praying for that person, things change and they actually set free. Who knows if that person somehow comes back and receives Christ and things change. Amen. It's phenomenal. It's amazing how that is. Take a look, because he addressed for kings, that means government, and all who are in authority. So we deal with this element. It's important regardless. And how important is it to pray for our nation at this time? Debates are happening. We are about 1 year into an election process. We need to be praying for our nation. Edward Hale, who was once chaplain of the U.S. Senate, was asked, do you pray for the senators? He says, no, I don't. I look at the Congress and the country, and I pray for our country. And it's amazing how important it is. We should pray not only for our country, we should pray for our leadership as well. We respect the position regardless if we like the individual or not. Pray for all men. I'll tell you, we are prime and in need of a revival in the U.S. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. We really are. It's a perfect time for the church to rise up and to pray. It's vital. Matter of fact, when I look at the end time elements in the New Testament, I do not see the United States mentioned at all. We do not know where the United States would be. There's three things that could happen to us, the United States of America, and why we're not there. One is that the United States allies itself with the Antichrist, and the judgment of God comes and eliminates a lot of what we are. Second thing, reason why, is that a nuclear conflict takes place and our significance in governing world affairs is diminished and gone. The third thing is a revival breaks out in America, and so many Americans have received Christ as Savior that when the rapture comes, we're gone. And we have no significance that way. I'm praying for the third. How about you? Are you true? Uh-huh. Glory to God. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land and will forgive their sins. That's important. That's important. Let's be careful. If there's ever an indictment among the church, USA anyway, would be a lack of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness, I should say. So let's look at number four finally. Reasons for praying. Verse 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? What would be the reasons for praying? Well, first of all, you can see there, it's good. Letter A, prayer is good. B, prayer is acceptable, means it's favored by God. And that letter C, prayer works. It really does when we pray for other people. Charles Spurgeon once wrote this. He says, do you say that you have nothing to pray for? What? No children unconverted? No friends unsaved? No neighbors who are still in darkness? What? Living in London and not praying for sinners until the gate of hell is shut upon a man? We must not cease to pray for him. And if we see him hugging the very doorpost of damnation, we must go to the mercy seat and beseech the arm of grace to pluck him from the dangerous position. Man, I thank God somebody prayed me into receiving Christ. I thank those individuals. I know who some of them are. Maybe you might be thanking right now somebody prayed for you to be drawn closer to the Lord. Somebody prayed you in. God says, this is my desire, who desires all men to be saved. All men. Remember, why are we going to pray for everybody? Man, he wants them to get saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Someone say, well, how should I pray for everybody? Well, let me just give a random list. Here's a great list if you want to take a look at that or upload a little bit later. These are some ways that you can pray each day for the week. On Sunday, pray for the church. This church, church universal. Monday, pray for the family. Your personal family, families of the church. Okay? Tuesday, pray for the media. Of course, the media needs your prayers. Wednesday, pray for the government. Government, we're required, pray for those in leadership. Thursday, pray for education. Our educators in the system needs your prayers. Friday, pray for business. God knows ways of making business deals and working it out, that business is done with integrity and businessmen and women succeed. Saturday, arts and entertainment. I think that's going to be a long prayer, don't you? Yeah. So priority. It's important that we take a look and pray for those areas. I like the fact, and I just want to throw it out there, in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, as an example of the church praying. It literally says this, that James just had his head cut off by Herod. Persecution hit the church, so Herod arrests Peter. And the church goes into prayer for Peter. They're interceding for Peter, Acts 12, 5. And lo and behold, in the middle of the night, an angel visits Peter, opens the door, wakes him up, says, "Follow me." Peter comes to the door, the house where everybody's assembled praying for Peter's life, and they didn't even think it was him. That was his ghost, because the church was praying. It's a great example. We can pray. We can pray. I think we need to pray for our leadership, do we not? I want to take a moment right now, and I want to lead you in a prayer. I was so grateful and so encouraged by the amount of individuals that showed up Monday night upon my request to pray for our nation, pray for our president. I want to lead us in a prayer. This is actually going to be displayed, and I'm going to encourage you to read this out loud with me. I did not put this together, the other sheets I did. But Franklin Graham put this together, that the churches would pray for President Donald Trump. So whether or not you agree with him or his policy, we are to pray for all men, and especially for our president. And I want to highlight that. And even as our worship team comes on out and gets themselves situated, I want to have you just take a look with me as we bring it up. Here we go. Let's take a look at this, if you could read that. Follow along with me if you can. This is for our president. It's a lengthy prayer, but we're going to read it out loud. Would you assist me on that? Heavenly Father, we come today as the body of Christ in this nation to lift up our president, Donald J. Trump. As many voices rise up against this one you have set into office, we lift up our voices with one heart and mind to stand in agreement with heaven's purposes concerning our nation. We stand by this president who has declared this nation to be under God's rule and authority and seeks righteousness and justice for our nation. We welcome and embrace the fear of the Lord as the standard for all righteous rule and repent for the ways in which we have bowed to the fear of man. Cleanse our hearts and renew our minds that we may walk in the light of your truth. We ask that President Trump would delight in the fear of the Lord in order to walk in the power of your might and the wisdom of your ways. May righteousness and faithfulness be his portion so that he may render righteous judgments according to your word. We ask that President Trump would show no fear toward the evil that assails him, but rather overcome it with zeal and passion for your laws which bring life and liberty to all. May he love your word and seek your wisdom diligently, remaining open and teachable to godly counsel and heaven's wisdom. We thank you that his heart is in your hands and that you will direct it according to your will and purpose. Grant him increased grace and blessing as he heeds your voice and obeys your word. We declare over President Trump that he will have truth judgments by spirit and not according to man. We declare that he will possess heaven's knowledge with shrewdness of mind in making right decisions for the good of the people. Fill his mouth with good things, that he may speak what is true and right. We pray that he will use his God-given authority to execute justice and establish righteousness in this land for the sake of your glory and kingdom. We declare that he will rule in the midst of his enemies, not backing down or wavering due to threats or intimidation. May his ears become deaf to the assaults from his enemies, and may those who seek his life answer to you for their wicked ways. May he know that it is your hand and your sovereign purpose that is keeping him and sustaining him in his divine commission. Keep President Trump and those who serve him safe from the enemy's snares and free the accuser's traps. By your great hand, Lord, deal with those who oppose righteousness and justice, so that all men will know it is you alone who is sovereign and true. May the fire of your presence burn up all your enemies and consume all those who stand against you concerning our destiny and inheritance as one nation under God. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and empowering us as kingdom ambassadors on the earth. From the highest office in the land to the least known among men, may we all seek to know you more intimately, serve you more passionately, and praise you more fully so that all men will be saved. Through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you stand? Let's sing this song together. We're going to come back and pray a little bit further, but we thank God for what we just experienced.
And hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. And hallelujah, all my stains are washed away, washed away. And hallelujah, the grace like rain falls down on me. And hallelujah, all my stains.
This morning, you might be feeling this is the time. God's causing you to draw close to Him. Somebody's been praying for you. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. I want to give that simple invitation to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Or you've been away from the Lord. You've been doing your own thing, but you know God wants more of your life. And He has better for you. Today would be a great day for that. Well, you just close your eyes to have that private time, but with lifted hands, if you're here needing to give your life to Jesus for the first time, would you just throw that hand up and say, Pastor Paul, that's me. Thank you. Go ahead. All right. I see that hand. Put it down. Or you're needing to just recommit your life to the Lord. You know, man, I need to just give my life wholeheartedly. If you just put your hand up and drop it back down, that would be great. Thank you. Okay. All right. Make sure I see that hand. Thank you. Now, let me just lead in a simple prayer with regards to maybe you who are watching live broadcast, and you know the Lord's moving in your heart. And you might even be feeling right now, it's why I don't come to church. I just feel so inadequate. Feel as if God would be upset with me, so I stay home. Boy, God wants to embrace you right now. He has so many wonderful things for your life and future, and how your life will impact so many other people. Let me lead all of us in this prayer for the sake of those five hands. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Savior of the world, and that you died for me and rose to life for me. And today, O Lord, I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to live for you, God, and trust you, Lord, for eternal life. Now, dear Jesus, help me to live for you, to be the kind of person you want me to be, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord? That was wonderful. It was wonderful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I want to just pray you off a blessing. And a couple of things I want to highlight. First, have somebody pray for you. We have our altar prayer team that is coming now, and they're going to station themselves. Would you come? They're going to station themselves up front so that you who are needing prayer enjoy coming forward. Ladies praying with ladies, men praying with men. They're here to be a blessing to you. It's very biblical. Watch what God does. For the rest of us, I want to pray you off a blessing and thank God for you coming. If you prayed that prayer that we just prayed, whether for the first time or rededicated your life to the Lord, you'll see our information center. We have Bibles there and What's Next booklet. We want to get you on the right path of your relationship to God. And you who may have, by live broadcast, experienced something fresh when you prayed that prayer, would you get a hold of us? There is, I am new here, and just fill that out, or just simply call the church and request a meeting with one of our pastors. It's a great day. It's a great day. October the 6th, for some of you who surrendered your life to Jesus, mark that in your new Bible. You'll be happy to tell your children or your grandchildren, hey, gave my life to Jesus on this day. Well, if you're needing prayer, don't forget, I want to just encourage you, just start making your way. Let me pray off that blessing even now. Father, I want to thank you. What a beautiful day it's been for our city. Lord, so many out-of-town guests have come. But Lord, what a beautiful occasion just happened in this room and those watching. We set aside time to be with Almighty God. And Lord, now it's very easy for me because you want to bless and allow people to come to the truth. So Lord, those who may find themselves locked in a battle of anxiety or fear and dread, Lord, reveal truth of what their life's going to be taking and enjoying and experiencing. Let a peace come upon everyone, and especially those that have surrendered their life to you today. Lord, prosper everyone in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.